Hi everyone, and welcome to the Academy podcast, where we talk all things digital and learning. I'm Sam and I work in the Academy team, and today we're joined by Rachel, who also works in the Academy team, and we're going to be discussing, no surprises, all things Academy. So hi Rachel, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So just to give the listener more of an insight into what it is we do, can you give us a flavour of the type of projects the Academy team works on?
Yeah, sure. So this is quite a good opportunity actually, because I think there probably is organisationally a bit of a misconception about what it is that we actually do. So we're probably best known for doing things like staff training, so all your kind of policy, protecting information kind of things, and probably more so the kind of training support that we give to appointees. So there's a lot of learning on the Academy which is based around how to actually carry out their kind of appointee activities, like so using our e-marking system, you know, recording kind of modern languages kind of things for candidates, but also there's quite a lot of information on there about around the more kind of soft skills, so how to manage their team, kind of taking care of their mental well-being and that kind of thing. But we do actually create learning for a lot more demographics than just that. So at the moment, we're really trying to break more into the kind of candidate side of things, so supporting them and kind of soft skill learning again, and general life skills, but also doing more assessment based stuff. So we've done a kind of some of the things that we've worked on recently is we're taking the personal finance learning, which was, I don't think the QM would mind me saying, a bit of a drab document, and now making that quite engaging e-learning, and then quite rightly so, because the assessment for it's digital as well on Solar, so it kind of makes sense that the learning should be digital if the assessment's digital. We're not really, although these are the kind of demographics we look at the moment, we're not really limited. So what I would kind of say is, if people have an idea of other kind of areas that we could be creating more learning for, then to get in touch, we're always kind of happy to have those conversations.
Yeah, and I think encouraging people to get in touch, I've, as a new member of the team, I've noticed just how collaborative we are, and I've really enjoyed being part of that. Could you give us a bit more of an insight into how the team does collaborate?
Yeah, sure. So I think probably one of the elements that kind of makes our team such a positive kind of team to be part of is, at the moment, everyone, although we all work in digital learning, our journeys to that point have been very different. So everyone kind of brings a different strength to the team. So like for you, for example, have come via kind of comms background, and that's something that the team really needed at the time, because whilst we're good at creating learning, one thing we're probably not so good at is marketing the kind of things that we do. Then we've got the likes of Lynn, who has quite a heavy design background, especially in kind of graphic design. So she is great to kind of consult and support on things like animations or any kind of design work which enhances the kind of overall look and feel. We're doing a lot of gamification at the moment, so she's really strong at kind of developing some of the elements that go into those games, because although you maybe didn't think about it to start with, all of those individual kind of tiny little elements all need to be designed by someone before they become a kind of functioning working game. So that's great from that angle. We've then got Fraser, who's got quite a lot of design background, and especially in terms of like websites. David, again, similar to that, a lot of web design kind of knowledge there, especially around Moodle, which is the site that this, which is what our site is built on. So David's definitely our kind of go-to guy when things aren't working as they should, and he's definitely good at finding solutions to making something work. And then we've got Brian, who specialises a lot in kind of the analytics, which is something that's becoming more and more important within the team. Again, historically, we would probably just put stuff out there but not really analyse how it was performing. So what we are paying more attention to ourselves, but also encouraging our course owners to do, is kind of review who's looking at the course, when they're looking at the course, what devices they're using to review it, how long they're actually spending on the course, are they completing the activities, and then using evaluation as well to get specific feedback on how people are finding engaging with their courses. Because I suppose at the end of the day, if we don't know that something's wrong or we're not hitting the right mark, we can't improve. So yeah, Brian's good at kind of taking all that information and putting it into a way that's digestible for everybody else to review. So I think everyone kind of having those different kind of skill sets is brilliant, but what makes it such a nice team to be part of is that people are willing to share that those knowledge and skills with each other, and it's never too much trouble to kind of ask for someone for support on something that you're trying to achieve or a little bit of advice. And it just creates a really nice, positive working environment to be part of. I think it would be fair to say that no one in our team sits on a Sunday night dreading work on on the Monday, because there's always a nice, positive, challenging kind of atmosphere going on, which is nice.
Definitely. And again, just as a member of the team, it's you, when you go through that, you really do hear like that we all do have our own strength that comes to the team, and we're all willing to put that on the table and actually make it work and provide really kind of helpful support. And it's not, there's never criticism, it's all about how can we make things better, coming from an angle of, well, I have this skill set so I can help with that, rather than just a suggestion of, oh, well, you could do this and then take a step back. Like, it's very, it's an involved process, I would say, and nothing, no one project is kind of kept to one person where it doesn't need to be. Like, there is that openness to it being really collaborative, which is, as you say, a nice environment to
totally.
Be in.
Totally, and I wouldn't even limit that to the team, to the academy team itself. I think there is a really nice air of that across the DAS team in general. We use support a lot from our content producers who are very skilled in a lot of kind of graphic design and that kind of thing. So they quite often produce really high quality stuff for us. So it's great to have them to lean on when the workload is high, which seems to be more often recently.
Which is great for us. It's good.
Oh, absolutely. Rather be busy,
but it is great to have that support and that expertise that are also keen and willing to get involved, because we like to think it's an exciting team to be involved.
Yeah, totally. And I think, like, as well, like, those kind of attitudes aren't squashed at all by our kind of lead in management. Obviously, Theo was our previous line manager, the manager for the team, and then we've now got Robert, and they really promote that kind of way of working as well, which helps.
Yeah, definitely. It makes you feel like any idea can be brought to the table and it'll at least be explored, even if we have to go a different direction. You know, the cogs are turning and things are happening, which is nice to see. In terms of working out with the team in DAS and with other colleagues or even external, what would you say to anyone that's kind of currently swithering on whether to create a module or not, and what would you say are the benefits to alternative methods that we currently use in SQA?
It's quite hard because there's so many, but I think, again, like, kind of going back to what I was saying earlier, like, what I would hope that becomes apparent from this conversation is similar to that we're not limited in our demographics, we're not limited in the type of learning that we'll create. So I think a good example of that is e-marking. So we are responsible for the creation of learning for e-marking in terms of using the system, but we have also started recently working with them to develop all learning for their agency staff, which derived out of going back to when I was in the team, had recognised that there were quite often scenarios where you've got agency staff who are sitting looking bored to tears, and then on the flip side, supervisors who are flying by the seat of their pants, beyond stressed. So I kind of, following that diet, tried to spend some time with them to really drill down as to why that was happening. So it became quite apparent from those conversations that the reason that that was happening is where we can have quite high turnovers of agency staff, it means that our supervisors are having to repeat training constantly. Obviously, our situation with having to kind of use agency staff to plug the kind of capacity needs that we have throughout the main diet isn't something we can avoid. So I tried to then to work with them to find a way that would alleviate those kind of issues that they were having. So what we were generally finding is that because they were having to redo training, where it was maybe coming towards like the end of the diet, for example, they would maybe carry out tasks themselves rather than spend the time with the agency staff member to go through that training, which obviously isn't good for the well-being of the supervisor, because then they're taking on tasks that they probably shouldn't be doing, but also not great for the well-being of the agency staff member, because it's important for people to feel valued and needed. So the solution to that was to work with the supervisors to take all of the training and knowledge that they need to deliver to their agency staff and completely digitize it. So we kind of took a kind of varied approach on that. So some of it is purely instructional videos. Other parts is more soft skills, so we will have agency staff in that scenario having conversations over the phone with people. So we did a lot of soft skill, like how to work with customers who maybe aren't totally happy, rather than plonk our agency staff members down on the phone to an appointee who's been rubbed up the wrong way for whatever reason. And the outcome of that meant that supervisors were able to re-deliver that training as and when required, which was reducing a lot of time resource, and also that from the agency staff member's point of view, everyone's getting the same consistent training regardless of what point of the diet they start to work with us. So which again I think just enhances their feeling of being valued, and also ensuring that they're getting the training that they need, and that it's right and that it's consistent. And I think we've spoken before about what tends to happen if, you know, people are then needing refresher on that training. So obviously with it being digital, if they then have to carry a task out 2 weeks after they originally learned about it, they can revisit that training at any point rather than then put questions to the supervisor. So I think what tends to happen in those scenarios is once someone's asked a couple of questions, they then feel like they're bothering someone.
Yeah.
So might try and assume, or they might ask another agency staff member what they should be doing, when we actually can't guarantee that the information that's been passed is correct. So it just, I think, as well as everything else, reduces the chance of errors being made for reasons which can be avoided, which is obviously hugely important when we're talking about dealing with candidates' results, which have such a big impact on people's lives.
Definitely. I think that's a great example to flag up in terms of what the academy team can do for the business in terms of alternative training methods, because I definitely think that example of supervisors working far too much to kind of cover others' workloads, because I think we can all be guilty of thinking we're better doing it ourselves because we know what we're doing, and it can sometimes feel like counterproductive to actually take a breather and actually take the time to train someone else. And I get what you're saying around when that training becomes repetitive as well, because there's a higher turnover of staff, then it does probably become more off-putting. But as you say, there's that value in giving people the chance to actually do the job they've came to do. Yep. And I think in this instance, and probably a lot of instances, like that bit of dedicated time at the beginning yields results that are well worth.
Yeah. Well, 100%. Like, if the training delivery is pitched as well as it can be, the overall performance of that team will be like night and day.
Yep. And I think as well, just thinking about learning in general, we're all different in how we learn, and digital learning gives you that opportunity to break up that training in much more manageable chunks, whereas when someone comes into the building and has to get cracking on with a piece of work and kind of time sensitive, like a more pressured environment, like if it's a day sitting listening to someone, that's potentially not going to be the best way for someone to learn on the job. Yeah. So,
and I suppose if you think about, you know, traditional learning throughout the organisation, a lot of it is based around word-based working instructions, and actually not a lot of people learn that well. I know that myself, I'm just not someone who gathers or retains information easily from reading. I'm very much more a visual or audio type person. I think statistically you would probably find that the average learner in the UK probably, you know, reading isn't actually that high as a preference.
Yep, and a lot of it is on the job, but I think if we can set someone up for success and get them in a good shape for doing what they need to do so that they can start putting that into practice and just it becoming kind of second nature.
Yeah, 100%, and that's such a good point, because, you know, digital learning's never meant to fully replace that kind of face-to-face element. You know, that still has to exist on some element. Like, the idea is that the digital learning complements the more kind of traditional stuff.
Yeah,
so, you know, someone sitting down you know, there's no expectancy that they do this digital training and then carry on, no questions asked. Like, there still has to be room for that. But I think, from going back to the e-marking example, a supervisor's much in a much better position to be able to give that support if a lot of the actual physical demonstration's been taken out of it.
Definitely. And just being able to revisit in your own time as well
helps cement your understanding. Yep.
And just empowering from the point of view of, like, you're not physically having to walk up to someone or, like, feel that, maybe not that you should, but feel...
Yeah, you've reached your quota of questions for the day.
Like, you can just go back
and remind yourself and take a moment to go, right, if I'm having to revisit this page a couple of times to find this out, is there a better way for this to be kind of...
100%. Like,
put it on a post-it note or make your own notes from that. Like, there's definitely... It can start to make you think, why am I not getting it, and what can I do to get it?
And, like, I think you mentioned, like, making that learning digestible. And I remember our first you're doing the eMark and Help Desk training, we had a week-long workshop where we told them everything that they would need to do. Like, who's retaining that information for a three-month period? That's too intense. It needs to be broken down. And again, digital helps with that.
Definitely. Before we wrap up the conversation, if you could make sure the listener took away one thing from this conversation, what would you like that to be?
I mean, I think I've probably touched on it quite a lot, and that basically there's no limitations as to who can request support from the Academy, and there's no limitations as to what that support can look like. We are open to creating learning for brand new demographics. We are open to completely wacky and out there ideas of delivering it. We generally, we love a challenge. So please give us it. And, you know, if you do have an idea that you want to explore, like, just get in touch with us. And if that means that, you know, if there's someone in the team that you're more familiar with, like, we don't have a formal process for having those conversations. So, you know, reach out to any of us and we'll all be happy to kind of steer you in the right direction. And likewise, even if it's maybe more of a team idea that you have, or regardless of what kind of stage that is, that's at, whether it's in its infancy or whether you have a more established idea, we're happy to come along to team meetings to kind of hear your ideas and make suggestions as to what that could maybe look like in a digital format. So yeah, get in touch. We're definitely here to help. So
yeah, definitely. And I think I've witnessed that firsthand, just how ideas kind of brought to us as a team can generate a lot of creative thinking and solutions as to how it can work. And I think it's worth noting that it doesn't need to always be like process based kind of learning. There's a lot of things we do out with that in terms of like elective learning and other topics that are of interest that maybe don't necessarily serve a function for the business, but for personal development, it's really great to kind of explore different topics.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for your time today. Thank you to listeners for tuning into this episode. You can find all episodes on the podcast section of the Academy site. And if you'd like to get involved and create your own podcast with us, please get in touch. And until then, enjoy listening while you work.